Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Control and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Colin,
and me, Mark Edge, coming to you from Florida, remote location.
Oh yeah, so not in the studio. I don't know why I always forget to say that, but so we have Mark remotely from Florida. And the news tonight that I wanted to bring in and talk about, at least, is that the 2024 Index of Economic Freedom from the from Heritage.org, the Heritage Foundation, has been released. And I'm very interested to get you guys' thoughts on all of that. But it is a call-in talk radio show, and that means that you can call in at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160, and we do already have a caller on the line, so let's just go straight to them. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine, yes. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
It's Steven. I'm calling from Los Angeles, California.
Welcome, Steven.
And, I was calling because I was listening to a show from a few days ago. I think, Bonnie, you were on, and one of the topics that had come up was books that might introduce people to the concept of voluntarism and anarcho-capitalism, something not as heavy as, say, a Mises or a Hayek or something like that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to throw a book out there into the hat for the running in case your listeners might be interested in it.
Go ahead.
If that's okay. Sure. Now, full disclosure, it's a book that I wrote, so I don't know if that's considered free promotion. I'm not.
I think that's great.
That.
I think more people should call into Free Talk Live and promote the stuff that they do.
And I hear that Mark Edge is on tonight, too. He was actually kind enough to write a quote for the back of the book. Hi, Mark. This is the book Ant Farm from several years ago that I had released.
Excellent.
And, yeah, thank you. And, so it's sort of an allegorical piece. It's modeled after Orwell's Animal Farm, in fact. And it's just a kind of a really simple way of understanding how free markets could work and also, unfortunately, how they can devolve into so-called democracy and eventual fascism and dictatorship and so on. So I think, you know, I tried to make it an easy read. I tried to make it digestible for 12-year-olds as well as adults. So, yeah, if anyone's interested, there's free chapters at antfarmbook.com, and that's all I wanted to say.
And what's your name for them searching, you know, the author?
Sure. It's Stephen with a PH and Gray with an E.
Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that.
I have a question.
Oh.
Are there any, like, ant eaters that come in and destroy the ant colonies and...
There are not anteaters, but there are cockroaches. They're sort of the fascist insects in the book.
It kind of reminds me of A Bug's Life, because they were controlled by it wasn't cockroaches, it was crickets?
Grasshoppers.
Yeah, grasshoppers.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well,
a little bit like that, I suppose. Well, thank you, guys, and please continue the great work in spreading liberty. I appreciate it, as always.
Well, we appreciate your work, too, and thank you for the call. The thing he was referring to, Nikki and I were talking about, I brought up the book I Pencil. Now I forget which one she brought up, but it was on Wednesday's show, and we're talking about shows or books that make the ideas of liberty easily digestible, and they're not, like, super difficult to understand. Like, I've never read a Mises or a Rothbard book.
All I would say about books is at this point, if you're an author, make sure you get an audiobook created, because people just aren't reading dead tree books the way they used to.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. A lot of people are doing stuff while they're listening. It's, I mean, actually all of the audio and podcasts and stuff that are out there now has made it to where I can just absorb so much more information than I ever was able to before, as long as I can find the right kind of content, you know, that's easy to listen to, like doesn't have, you know, too many images or whatever, because then I have to stop what I'm doing. That's pretty annoying.
And so if not an audiobook, which I get a lot of information from, and also podcasts and stuff like that, I love to listen to things from, just do an ebook. The other day I listened to Tom Woods' episode he did recently, just talking about everybody should write a book, and he was talking about ebooks are like the way to go, because it's, you can self-publish very easily and spread it, and you can make them really short. And actually, I keep forgetting, I wanted to text Mark specifically. I was just like so, I was like cleaning yesterday, and I was like on Kratom, and I was getting so much done, and I kept thinking, I gotta text this to Mark, and I really wanted to tell you, Mark, that you should write a book. It'd be so easy. And you have lots of different topics. You could like co-author it with your friend Alex, and you guys both know a lot about freedom in the world, which also ties into the topic I wanted to discuss in a second. Why don't you write a book, Mark?
Well, I'm actually working on a book as we speak.
Really?
We'll see how long it takes to get out. But I had an author approach me when I was in Prospera, and they said that basically if I wrote a book, they would make it interesting. And that's so, you know, he thinks that, you know, part of my story, part of our story, part of Free Talk Live story is very interesting anyway. So he wants to see more.
Oh, I'd be really happy for you to write about that topic.
So it's like a biography type thing, or is it just specifically certain sections of your life, or like specifically Free Talk Live type stuff, or?
Right. Well, I figure I'll just do the autobiography, and he can decide what's interesting and what's not.
Ah, okay.
Your whole life? Okay, that's really cool.
Well, Free Talk Live is close to it.
Yeah.
You know, if you cut out the first 12 years as uninteresting, then, you know, Free Talk Live has got to be, let's see, 20 years of my 53 of them, so.
Nice. I think that will be so cool, and I really hope you get that done. I started writing down my thoughts because I wasn't really going to announce it yet, but it's pretty much definitely going to happen. I'm going to speak at a conference called the Windy City Justice Conference in Chicago in April, and so I have to write a speech about my experiences with the FBI raid and the injustice system anyway. So I think I'm going to try to turn that into a book. I don't think it'd be that hard once I finally finish the speech. It's going to be like 30 minutes long.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, I've heard a tip from some people who've done, you know, authoring before, but not, you know, small scale. Like these people have actually had their books published, you know, before all this, you know, online self-authoring type stuff. And one of the things they do, or some of these people do, is they just dictate. And then later on, they listen to it and write it back, because it's easier for them to speak it out than to type it. For some people, for some people, the typing is just fine. But yeah, that's a suggestion for that. Hmm.
That's a really good idea, actually.
It is a good idea.
So, Mark, I really thought it would be a good topic to bring up while you're on the show. This 2024 Index of Economic Freedom from the Heritage Foundation.
Well, and I'm excited that Colin's here for this too. So please go ahead.
Yeah, this is a good topic. I'm glad we got it. Yeah.
So Ian and I like accidentally found that they had published their new one because he was asking me about specifically Finland and Norway and the other one that's up there, Sweden.
Yeah. Sweden.
And so the other one. He was asking me how they rank because he read a book all about Finland in jail, and the lady was really trying to sell it to the readers that it was more free than the United States, and I think this is the one that it actually does rank as more free, at least economically, than the United States. And Finland doesn't sound that bad, actually, but the other only thing about that book he was reading was that it was really using kind of sneaky words, saying stuff like, oh, we have smarter government, so it's not really free. Yeah. They have smarter government, she says.
We're going to have that soon, you know, with the CBDC and Klaus Schwab.
More effective government's a bad thing.
Great. I want them to be really efficient at what they do, you know. That way they can really oppress us. You know, just I'll be in wow by it. I'll be like, wow,
so
yes,
smart.
More, you know.
I hate the idea that I'm carrying around this tracking device all day, every day, and the government's not using it to say limit my travel if I have a crappy opinion, or raise the prices on things that I need to have raised on, or lower them on other things. I mean, the government could really be managing all of our lives a lot more.
Yeah, like in China.
You know, I actually think they're doing well. I mean, maybe it's not exactly the government, but there are definitely things like that that are happening that people have no idea are going on in their phones, you know, with different things. I definitely have had it happen with pricing on items where I'll check it on one device at one location and another one at another location.
Yeah, airline tickets are famous for this.
Yep.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like if you're, like, let's say, I don't know, at a Starbucks or something like that, and you're, like, on their network there, and you look up the ticket price, you'll get one price. But then, like, maybe when you go home, like, they'll give you a different price for that same exact ticket, and within just a minute or two. So it's not even, you know, because some people say, oh, the prices change over time, but this is even different from that.
Well, I don't know. I just am a little confused, like, what that has to do with tracking, the government tracking.
Oh no, just ways to oppress you. Like they'll be able to provide different pricing for you at different points in time. You know, that they're not charging other people, you know, just because you are who you are.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Right. United Airlines right now, and Delta and American and all the major airlines, will provide you a different price if you sign into your account and look up a particular flight than if you, say, go on an incognito mode and just look on their website. And that doesn't feel good if the price is higher.
Well, I know in China, they all have to have a phone. They can't have a second phone. Okay, I say I know this, but I just heard it from nobody on the last show that I was on with him. He said that they all have to have a phone. They're only allowed to have one phone. You can't have two phones. And you're not allowed to ever have your phone die or turn off.
I'm sure it's like that in the cities, but I mean, I see this even in the U.S. where there's just, like, kind of different laws and different things, like, they kind of expect people out in the country to be doing things differently. I mean, there's parts of China, not that I've been there, but I understand that there are parts that are still very, like, rural and, like, undeveloped, and, like, there's not even good roads or electricity out there.
Wow.
Oh, I think my favorite explanation for what life's like in rural China and some of the poverty that they face is that China has this amazing missile. It's called the carrier killer. So then, supposedly, a lot of it's just perhaps fluff. And this thing is supposed to be able to come down super fast, like Mach 10 or something, and then, like, you know, take out an aircraft carrier out of a carrier group. But the Chinese soldiers that were watching one of these things, they went to check on one of these things and found that it was full of water. They sort of did an investigation, and they found out that the soldiers that were watching it were taking fuel out so that they could cook the game that they had hunted nearby. So I'm not too worried about the U.S. aircraft carriers getting sunk by these missiles. At this point, they're full of water.
Wow. So they just have them just to scare other countries? Like, if the other countries see a picture of it?
Well, they probably thought that they had themselves a big, scary missile, and it turned out that they don't have anything but a big tube full of water.
So who was the one that put it full of water if the Chinese government is the one being kicked?
Well, a government isn't one thing. the military guys there, the privates that are watching the area, the yard.
Oh, I see what you're saying. They put water back in after they took the fuel out, is what you're saying.
Right, like you did with your parents' vodka bottles when you were 18.
Oh, so you're saying, like, the country people stole it because they needed fuel?
I'm saying the soldiers stole it because they needed fuel.
Wow.
Yeah, the ones who were actually watching it. Yeah, they were, because they said they were using it to cook their meals, which that does not sound like a tasty meal if they're, you know, I don't know what kind of fuel is in that
rocket.
What
kind of oil they use in China, apparently? They scoop oil from the sewers that comes to the top of the sewers.
That sounds tasty.
Ew. so gross. Well, that's something I've seen on the internet. Like I said, I've never been there. It's hard to even say what you know about China with their whole Great Wall of Fire and stuff.
Well, what we know firewall is the Great Firewall. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. What we know is that when you take Chinese people and you give them good government, like, for instance, Hong Kong or Singapore or, you know, any variety of locations, they thrive and they do well. When you take Chinese people and you give them crappy government, you know, it's not good.
Sounds like mostly basically anyone, right? Like if they're
sure. I mean, you could say or give them like almost no government, because the story of Hong Kong is it was a, what's the word, benevolent neglect.
Hmm. Yes.
Is what the British were doing. So, I mean, that's almost kind of like saying no government, but not good government.
Yeah, I can't remember if Hong Kong is on this one or the other thing that ranks freedom in the world, the one that's not heritage.org, because it just doesn't have, one of them just doesn't have Hong Kong, but whenever it is in the ranking, it's still like number one or two.
Yep. Hmm. Yeah, Hong Kong, you know, had basically the basics of government, but the guy who set it up was essentially a libertarian.
Was he from England?
Oh, really?
Yes, he was English.
Hmm. And so he did that on purpose?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Was he just one of those classic British, free market type of people? I mean, not necessarily like an anarchist or anything like that, just somebody who said, oh, we just like make it free for people to trade here kind of thing?
Best I can tell, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So there was an ANCAP president before Javier Milei. You have lied to me, Colin.
That's one of many lies to come.
Oh
no, no.
So that doesn't sound like an ANCAP president. Maybe somebody who is just less crappy than normal as far as a leader. But it's really sad to see all of this stuff as China gets back in charge over there. We were covering stories of them like destroying a statue that was in the memory of the people killed at Tiananmen Square. They were destroying stuff like that.
The government did?
Yeah, China has already taken back control of Hong Kong.
Oh, Tiananmen Square. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense that they did that.
You're not allowed to talk about
For
Tiananmen
some reason,
Square.
I thought you were talking about another different place, like Nanking or something like that. I was like, no, the Chinese love that propaganda. They pump that stuff up all the time.
Yeah, but Tiananmen Square, where the government of China killed 1,000 Chinese.
But no, the audience might not. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the Chinese government killed, I think they were all like college goers, but even if they weren't, like 1,000 Chinese people with tanks and stuff. That's where you get the picture of Tank Man standing in front of a tank with just his grocery bags in his hands.
Yeah. I'd love to personally do some more research into that. I had somebody tell me that it's like even worse than we think, like where they actually were just running over people. Because the guy who stood in front of them and then they didn't do anything, that was just that day. I guess there was another day after that where they did actually just kind of kill a bunch of people.
Hmm.
Do you know anything about that, Mark?
I wouldn't doubt it at all. I know the Tank Man was taken, has never been seen again.
Yeah, it's very sad.
He was executed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, best I can tell from the research I've done recently, China may be on its last legs. You can't govern the way they've governed and be successful for long.
So what do you think will happen when China dies? I think Skeeter would be really interested in that question because he wants to accelerate the death of the United States. But I've told him, like, even if he was able to be in charge and make that happen, I don't think it'll be good. There'll just be a void where new thieves and liars and lunatics and parasites, a new gang will come, call themselves the government, and be just as bad.
Wait 1 second. I'm taking some notes right here. You're saying after this government collapses, I can make my own?
Please do.
I don't think you're good enough at being a cult leader yet, so work on that, and then maybe you can get some followers once this government collapses. But here's what they have to say here from theheritage.org about their new economic index. They say that this is the 30th anniversary of the Index of Economic Freedom. That's interesting. So they started this 30 years ago.
I bet things have changed a little bit, and the United States has slid down the charts.
Yeah, actually, they say that everything has. On average, the world's freedom has slid down the charts.
Mm. Yeah.
The Heritage...
But, by the way, I did check with on the Freedom in the 50 States, which ranks all the states and their freedom, and New Hampshire has grown in freedom over the shorter period of time. It hasn't been 30 years that they've been ranking these things.
Hmm. Is it still above Florida?
Yes.
Nice.
New Florida isn't much competition to New Hampshire. I mean, New Hampshire's the freest of U.S. states and is going to be as free as a state could be. But that's kind of like winning the one-legged race. You know, it's not that great, right? Like, you're still part of the United States. The FBI can still kick your door in anytime they want. The IRS can give you an audit anytime they want. They can pull your passport, you know, all that stuff. So hard to call yourself free inside the U.S.
Well, don't you think that if the FBI wanted to, they would come break down my door of my condo in Honduras?
I mean, there is some truth to that. I mean, there's a certain amount of resources it takes for them to do that. They do go after people in other countries, you know, like even well, sometimes with the help of those governments, but sometimes without. I mean, U.S. Marshals will go out and find, people, you know, Americans, I should say, who've gone abroad that they're looking for.
They say the U.S. Marshal always gets his man. Sounds gay.
Well,
I was literally going to say that.
The only one that I know that they've gone and got is Manuel Noriega. Now, I'm sure they would have gotten Edward Snowden if they wanted him too. But as far as being in another country, you better have some big political capital. It'd be one thing for, you know, one special agent to have a vendetta against you and your husband. But I don't think that's going to be just, well, it's not the same thing, right? Like, being inside of that special agent's jurisdiction versus being outside of the country entirely, there's orders of magnitude more political pull to go after you.
So you're saying me and Ian need to fight harder against the U.S. government and their tyrannical rule if we want to be important enough?
You, what I say you and Ian need to do is leave the United States when you first, the first legal opportunity to.
Well,
but then again, I told him that 8 or 9 years ago. So
everyone likes to tell me what they told Ian he should have done 8 or 9 years ago. But
I know what you mean. But I mean, it's like it's a bad feeling, right? To care deeply about someone, and then, you know, like, everything you were concerned with happened.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, but if he had left the country 8 years ago or 8 or 9 years ago, he wouldn't have met me, and that would be
the
worst.
I hate that part. Yeah. I hate that part.
I think that just is proof that he was meant to go to prison for whatever reason. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Nikki Haley's decided to end her campaign for the GOP presidential nomination. The former South Carolina governor conveyed the news to her supporters in South Carolina, expressing her well wishes for Donald Trump without officially endorsing him. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said his endorsement of the former president should be expected. McConnell made the announcement endorsing Trump shortly after Nikki Haley suspended her campaign. McConnell emphasized that Trump has garnered the necessary backing from Republican voters. On April 25th, the Supreme Court is scheduled to listen to oral arguments in the case concerning former President Trump's immunity. Trump is appealing a decision from a lower court that rejected his assertion of immunity from criminal prosecution in his federal election interference case. The case brought by special counsel Jack Smith against Trump is presently on hold as the high court deliberates whether a former president can be charged for actions while in office. John Schaefer, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Me, Colin.
And me, Mark Edge, coming to you remote from Florida.
That's like three me's. That's like me, me, me.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash with bitrefill.com, where you can buy gift cards from big retailers including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash, and you can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. But with you in the, not with you in the studio tonight, on the phones, we have Scott calling from New Hampshire. Scott, what's on your mind?
Hey, Bonnie. Not much. Just enjoying this nice weather we're having right now.
Oh, yeah. It feels like it's spring already in New Hampshire. It would be freezing cold to Mark, who's in Florida.
What have you done to enjoy the weather?
Well, I wish I was skiing, but that's the trade-off. But I've been going on walks and enjoying being outside.
Ah, okay. Yeah, nice.
Nice. I went on a walk with my dog today, and last night he was just so happy because recently I've just been sending him back in the backyard and telling him to stay close, and he likes going on whole walks. So it's in like the 50s in New Hampshire, so we're excited, okay? In Florida, is it really, really hot already, Mark?
Well, it actually was pretty warm today.
like hotter than 80 degrees?
Like short sleeves, shirts, and a little bit of sweating.
So I know that's not really what you called in about today, Scott.
Because we're mind readers.
Yeah, usually what you have to talk about is Javier Milei related, the president of Argentina.
That's right. It's been quite a wild week in Argentina. So if you'd indulge me or want to hear about it.
I do. I heard that he gave a speech that was declared the most based speech of all time by you.
Yeah, it was absolutely based. He did this speech to start ordinary sessions in the Congress. And these speeches typically are in the daytime, noon or whatever. And Milei decided to do it at night, 9 p.m., in prime time in Argentina. There's all these rumors going about of what is he going to say and all this stuff. And turned out that it was the biggest political speech ever watched in Argentina. I saw that the World Cup, they won the World Cup in December of 2022, got a 60 rating or something. And this one got a 50 rating. So it was really, wow, really widely watched. And it couldn't have been probably better. And it was absolutely hilarious to boot.
I have to admit, I've been out of the loop a little bit because I was down in Mexico at an Acapulco, and then I just got back, you know, last week sometime, and so I've been like meaning to watch it and everything. I just haven't even had a chance. So it's great we're getting to talk about it, and you'll be able to tell me what I need to think about this.
I haven't finished, but I started listening to some of it, and I got really distracted because I watched this whole long version where it shows him like driving up with all of his fleet and then like walking out and kissing all the people that he meets, and like it was so fascinating. Not only is it really beautiful there and all the people are so beautiful, I was like, who is that lady? She's so pretty and cool. If she's like a bad person, like on a bad team, I'm gonna be sad. But I looked it up and she was on La Libertad Avanza, which is the libertarian basically thing in Argentina.
Yeah, I'm sure you're referring to Vicky Vicherell.
Yes.
Who is his vice president.
Yeah.
And she is a pretty lady.
I thought that was so cool that there's a pretty, well-dressed lady who seemed to be like running stuff there, and she's vice president, and she's a libertarian. That's just so cool.
Yeah, she's quite based. I watched her debates. She did two debates, and she absolutely wiped the floor of Massa's vice president and in the general election. So she is feisty. She's pretty cool herself. She is just very feisty and does not take any BS.
Now, what are the takeaways from this speech? Because, I mean, I've heard some people talking about it. Of course, they've said, you know, based and things like that. But other people have said it's re-energized what he's doing. Like, how exactly did he do that? Was it just talking about, you know, what's going on, you know, economically there? Or was it kind of like a State of the Union type thing? You know, what was it?
It was kind of all of the above. It was over an hour long speech. I think it was an hour and 15 minutes. So it was very stylish, as Bonnie pointed out. They had the horses riding up, and everybody's dressed in very nice clothes, and it's a beautiful place that they're doing it, which is the Camera, Congress for the deputies. And it started out sort of like how the inauguration started out, where Milei is reiterating how terrible the economy is. What does the government have to go through right now? He's talking about how the government had negative $12 billion in foreign reserves when he took power. He's talking about the debts to the exporters of other countries. He's talking about the 5 points of GDP. He's talking about how 60% of the people in Argentina are poor, mm-hmm. He's been doing this whole audit of the government.
Mm-hmm, yes, yeah. I've heard a lot about it.
Right, and he is just attacking his enemies with this audit, using this audit to attack his Kirchner-Peronist enemies.
Well, I mean, to attack them for all the corruption,
socialists.
You know,
all
and waste,
the corruption.
And, yeah.
Right, and just so the first like 20 something minutes or maybe 30 minutes of the speech it was very quiet. There was some clapping, but very quiet. When he's talking, if you watch the inauguration, it was a little bit depressing. It kind of had that vibe. And
he's talking to the people that he's calling out too, right? Like he said, 60% of Argentines are poor, but he said, and then the other the people in the government are rich, like many of you here. He's like calling the people out that were in the room.
Oh, it was so great. Yeah, he goes, 6 out of 10 people in Argentina are poor, but the politicians, like many of you, are rich.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, what I love about Milei is that he's like Ron Paul, right? Everything he says is just red meat for libertarians. But I'm afraid that the people in that room will not let him succeed. He's one man inside of a government, certainly a powerful man, but nobody in a modern democracy is all powerful. They kind of set it up that way. So when and if he fails, they're going to blame libertarianism and say, see, it doesn't work.
Well, there's a couple things. We can get into that as well. In Argentina, in the United States, we have a lot of restrictions on what we can do with the administrative state. And Jeffrey Tucker actually did a whole speech on this at Pork Fest. I believe it was 2022. It's really fascinating. It didn't used to be this way. It got this way where they basically made it so you can't fire government employees in the United States. But in Argentina, it's not like that. Argentina probably never expected that a president would come in and would actually fire and abolish government agencies. So when Milei took power, he immediately abolished 9. He got down from 21 or 19 ministries to 8, so he abolished it. He fired a lot of the political appointments, and overall, he's fired 50,000 employees. He's cut a lot. He's cut all the contracts. He's cut all the public works.
Yep, yep.
So he's cut in 1 month. He cut 40% of government spending, which has never ever happened in the world before. So that 1 month, he was able to balance the budget. And what it's doing is it immediately is making Argentina.
It's putting it on like the right trajectory to where, you know, if you're from in the outside world, outside of Argentina, you'll look at it and say, oh, I could maybe start, you know, investing here or doing things like that. Because, look, they are actually getting rid of it. And I mean, even the, you know, because there's all these different types of markets, you know, for currencies and things like that, you know, even that is a signal in the right direction, which shows, oh, it's, you know, not going to like continue to collapse or whatever. So
I'd be very concerned with investing in Argentina right now. I mean, putting some huge amount in.
Yeah.
And the reason would be is because I don't know what's going to happen. If he can get rid of 9 agencies.
Then can they put 9 new ones in? Exactly.
Right, they'll have 9 new ones in as soon as the next person gets voted in. And again, I'm rooting for Milei, but my concern is that once people have had a taste of the government teat, that they don't like to give it up. So if you could cut Social Security off today, there are libertarians that would do such a thing. And the crying and the gnashing of teeth, the wailing that would rise up, the sackcloth and ashes stores would sell out in a day, because America would hate the idea that they've paid in all along into Social Security, and then it it goes away.
Yeah, you know, I think what would have to happen here in the U.S. is things would actually have to get bad enough to where people see that the system's not even going to work. So
yep.
People right now think they're going to get some kind of money out of that. At least people who are kind of, I don't know whether they'd be like upper middle aged, people who are just even a few years from retiring. I was talking with a guy just the other day, and I said to him, I said, you know, me as a kid, you know, at the age of like 10 and 13, because I've always been into politics, I was aware even back then that there was no way Social Security was ever going to pay out anything to somebody of my age, just because it was already on the trajectory not to. But, you know, if enough people, you know, see that it's not even going to give them what they're going to get anyways, then I think they will just, you know, be willing to give up on it.
That's what it comes down to. I'm 53 years old. I'm that person you're talking about. And relatively recently, I had to look at what I had to pay in for Social Security. And I'm like, well, will I ever get this back? I'll probably get something. And so, you know, different people think different things about this particular form of mandatory insurance.
But in Argentina, it's already collapsed. And it already collapsed prior to Milei being president. And
well, they were getting checks. It wasn't collapsed in so much as people weren't getting checks. I mean, they were getting some checks.
But they were because of inflation, they were getting less than during Massa,
sure,
less than $100 a month.
Yeah.
So you're getting less than $100 a month. It was a really dire situation, and the people had been dealing with this peronism, this issue for a long time, and this was a rich country.
You know, another thing too,
poor.
Within living memory, they've seen things like currency devaluations, and I think that that's also educated them on it. There's a really interesting thing between Americans and Germans, where Germans are really scared of too much inflation, but Americans, because of the Great Depression era, are more concerned with deflation. And so, you know, people can have in their culture a built-in, you know, what I want to say, you know, an idea about these things if they've happened recent enough. And so I think that, you know, the fact that they've – how many times did they revalue the currency this century? Like 4 times or something, right? And then the most recent one was what, 19 – was it 80s or 90s?
Are you talking about,
yeah,
Argentina. Right, 1989, there was a hyperinflation.
Yeah, so that's within like living memory for them. So I think the idea that hey, these things can collapse that fast maybe makes them think a little. You know, I mean, I talk to Americans all the time, and I say, hey, everything that he's doing down there is all the things that are going to eventually have to happen here if we're going to, you know, keep, you know, the country from completely falling apart. And
you're not.
Hmm?
You're not.
Well, we're not until it gets really bad.
Like,
yeah,
once
we're at
you
that
start
point right
down
now.
This path, it there's only so far historically one outcome.
Yep.
And
yep.
That outcome is an arc towards freedom and then down towards destitution. Because if you give people the ability to democratically select who's going to be their tyrant, they're going to pick the ones who are going to shove their own pockets full of money and hand out a few coins here and there to the people. And it's going to happen over and over again.
Yeah,
I think you have to start with a different system.
Yeah, I agree, you know, long term, all around the world, that's what would have to happen. But, I mean, kind of as a rebuttal to that, they did just have an election. So they and granted, you could talk about how there were the different rounds, and maybe he only has this much actual support as an anarchist, and maybe has this much support just because people, you know, but whatever, it does look like maybe it is possible. Maybe it's and what caused that too? That's a good question, you know. And it seems like the young people down there are the ones who've spearheaded this, which is the complete opposite of here, obviously, but.
Yeah, no, I think Milei under 25 got over 70% of the vote. What Mark's talking about is what Argentina has been doing. They have been lining their own pockets and giving out a little bit in benefits or welfare to people. But the problem is, and as we've discussed on the show and I've discussed other places, just to put in perspective, in the year 2000, they had 4% of people living under $5 a day. And now they have over almost 50 people living under $5, 50% of people living under $5 a day. This whole Peronis-Kirchner system has impoverished the people to such a great extent and made their lives so miserable. And this is a educated, very beautiful culture, very beautiful buildings, very proud.
What do you think? Because, I mean, even poor people could react to a situation like that and say, oh, well, we just need more socialism. Oh, well, we just need to up how much they're giving us. So what do you think it is? What do you think the fundamental difference is that's caused them to react and go in the other direction, at least some portion of the population who voted for him?
Yeah, so I think one thing is they did elect a center-right guy, Mauricio Macri, in 2015, and he really didn't do anything. He was kind of like a Republican that didn't make many changes. He did this gradualism thing, and he gradually just did nothing. He also was very weak. But he didn't do what Malay is doing, which is Malay is using all of his powers as a executive.
He didn't do any of that. Therapy.
Right. McCree could have done that, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He was a weak president. So, but he was not corrupt. The previous government before that, as we discussed, Cristina Kirchner, was extremely corrupt. She stole billions of dollars from the Treasury and got caught with doing that.
So, yeah, it's okay if you're corrupt. And I mean, this is what the government's used to. They like that.
Right. Yeah. Then they elect another left-wing government where Cristina becomes vice president. And the economy just falls off a cliff. So they had these two other, the center-right, they had the Kirchners for the last 20 years. The economy was just terrible. And then you have Malay rising through all these years, going on television, building a movement of libertarians in Argentina to the point where he was wildly popular and got elected to their Congress. And he was talking about all the things that people wanted to hear. The other parties weren't talking about inflation, believe it or not. They have 200% inflation. And they weren't talking about it. Massa, the only thing he ever said he wanted to do for inflation
was do a CBDC, yeah.
Central bank digital currency. That's what he wanted to do to solve inflation. So, and then Malay is talking about all the things that matter. Why they're talking about all the stuff that doesn't matter. Malay's talking about all the things that mattered. And they had disgraced themselves, those two parties, and then Malay was there to
be
that third choice, and people won the jungle primary, which usually guarantees that you're going to win the general election, and made it into a runoff, and he got the most votes ever. He got almost 15 million votes, so he got 56% of the vote. So, and his popularity, according to polls, has actually grown since he became president. So,
yeah,
he's doing some interesting things where he's going after his opponents in a very moral way through exposing their corruption. He exposed the corruption of the previous president who stole millions of dollars worth of commissions. Did we talk about that one?
Yeah, I was going to ask. What did he find out in these audits? Anything interesting come out of that? He broke the news that this former president was corrupt. Is that what you're saying?
He didn't do it at the speech. It might have been broken before the speech.
I seem to think it was, but yeah.
I think it was broken before the speech, but he discovered that all the politicians were hiring people onto these agencies.
Through his audit, right?
Right, through the audit, and they weren't even working. So they were just paying their friends and amigos to buy by the government, and these people weren't even working.
Friends
so
and
those
amigos?
Were easy fires.
You know, maybe that was a good thing, because if they were working, think about how much worse it would have been.
That's right.
Going back to our discussion about government efficiency a minute ago.
Right.
Can you think of anything else just hilarious and awesome before the segment ends that he said during this speech?
Well, the tell 'em thing. So what was really fun about the speech was he packed it with his own people, and they must have known what he was going to say because they just roared. They were. It was so loud. It seemed like it was a stadium or a concert.
And what were they yelling?
Ever done. Just cheering. Oh, this is so great! Like it was, and they were doing at one sign they were doing chainsaw, Motosera, and you know, just going crazy. And my favorite part was there's this agency Tell 'em that was created in 1946. It's like the CBC, it's like the BBC or the Canadian Broadcasting Company.
Mm-hmm.
Or NPR.
And Malay on that, it was like, as he was saying it, the crowd just erupted. It's like, we're going to close Tell 'em. We are going to abolish Tell 'em. This thing that's been around for 78 years, we're going to abolish Tell 'em. And the crowd just goes absolutely nuts.
Nice.
And it was just hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious.
And he did
and
it, right?
Just go, yeah, so what? It was great. So on Friday, this is Malay and how much guts this guy has. On Friday, he said he was going to close Tell 'em. On Sunday night or Monday morning at 2 o'clock in the morning on Monday, he just brought out his federales and they just closed it off so nobody could enter it.
That's
this is
awesome.
The thing that's been. Yeah, so they just closed it off so nobody can enter it. And they took off all the website and everything. This was
just another
libertarians wouldn't like that if they shut us out of events like that here in New York.
Well, it's a government-controlled news company. So that's what's going on in Argentina. 603-283-6160. Bring up whatever's on your mind. It's Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere. More coming up.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.